Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hey.
Welcome to our show today, this Tuesday. In this episode, Jill and I talk about real estate agent side business. This is may or may not be the perfect real estate agent side business, or any side business for that matter. Hey, before we get into it, Jill, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Trevor asked, have you ever negotiated with the county on a large group of over-the-counter properties that they own? I know, send a mailer, but I stay up every night looking at these properties that are so cheap, but I want them cheaper.
I have a lot to say about this. Go ahead, Trevor.
Go dive in.
First of all, Trevor's awesome. He's been with us for a while. Trevor, so you're kind of breaking the rule about the mailers, and thank you for addressing it at the end. You know, you generally want to send mail out so that when you wake up in the morning, you're opening the mail and you're doing deals. You know, you don't want to spend a lot of time looking for deals. You want them to come to you. But if you're a regular listener to the show, you already know that. So have I ever negotiated with the county? Yes. 9.9 times out of 10, it's useless. And it's not because the person on the other end of the line that you're negotiating with doesn't love what you're saying. They do love what you're saying. It's just so hard to get anything done with any government. And so the county's a government. They have to go through all kinds of procedures and stuff. The first thing they do is they go to the Board of Supervisors and they bring it up. Most counties have a board. They're unpaid or they're paid very, very, very little. And they meet once a month and they go through an agenda. And this gets on next month's agenda. And they say, you know, there's this guy that keeps calling. His name's Trevor. He wants to buy everything but for a dollar a property. And so almost always they say no, because the first thing they do is they look up the rules, and there's nothing there that states that, or they look at the state statutes and the statutes say you must follow this procedure to sell these back tax properties, and that doesn't involve negotiation. So 9.9 times, no, it doesn't work. That being said, there was one time that I did this and it worked really well, and I didn't negotiate the price. I negotiated a release. I said, yep, I want every single thing on your tax roll except these four properties. It's in Northern Arizona. I did this a lot of years ago, but I would like to buy them 15 at a time, 15 per month. And they said, fantastic. We followed all the protocol. You're not adjusting the price. We're closing this thing down. And there was, I think, 150 properties. This is it was Coconino County a lot of years ago. I tried it again after that and they wouldn't do it, but we did. We completed the deal. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying don't try, but I really think that your time would be much better spent sending mail out.
Exactly.
And then the best deals, by the way, the best fantastic deals are tax liens. And we shouldn't even be talking about this today. The list that you're looking at probably, in some states, are tax lien deals where you can buy the lien and then go through the 90-day foreclosure process or whatever it is in that state. Or just call the person and say, which is what we do all the time. We buy the tax lien for $50 and then send a letter to the person that says, you know, we just bought this tax lien and we don't want to go through this foreclosure. We don't want any trouble. In fact, we have a lot of respect for you. So we would like to just buy this property for some amount of money instead of going back and forth with the legal proceedings and the whole thing. We're not foreclosure kind of people. We'd really rather just shake our hands, send you $500 or $1,000 and be done with it. At least you can have, you know, get some money out of the thing. You clearly don't want to keep it. And that approach, I think, is much better.
You know, it's funny, Jack. I have twice now this year on 2 for 2 shows heard you use the word negotiated and not just like cringe. You know what I mean?
Because
usually in the world, if you bring up the word negotiate, Jack's like, hang up the phone. No, because you really...
Let's talk about this for a minute. What is it with negotiation? What is it with people that... I honestly don't think negotiation is a natural, like, human being thing.
Yeah. I concur. I don't like it. I really don't like it. Am I good at it when we're traveling? Yeah, and because I'm ready for it, prepared for it, and it's kind of like it's just a silly banter game. But like when you're buying jewelry in Mexico, you know, that's you just have to. That's just part of it. But I don't really like it, and I'm okay paying fair price. That's the thing. I'm here to pay fair price for a nice asset and go off and do something with it. Whether I'm buying it from a store or a retailer mm-hmm. or a husband and wife that have owned a property for a lot of years.
Right.
I'm not here to beat people up and try to get the best price out of them and then brag about it.
Right,
you know?
That's what it is.
So
I think that's a bragging thing at the end.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time, my vision of negotiation is, like, if you buy a car at a car dealership, you know, two nice people buy a car at a dealership and they walk out and they're walking toward the car, and everybody inside the dealership, the salespeople are all jumping up and down and high-fiving each other because, you know, they sold it. They made a lot of money on the deal.
Right.
I don't like that, man. Right. I don't think it's good.
Should be win-win for both.
Yes.
So
thank you.
If they're jumping up and down and high-fiving each other, I sure hope the husband and wife are high-fiving each other too. Because, you know, like you and I walk in, we just did this somewhere yesterday. You said, you know, I walked in with a number in my head.
Yes.
And I got what I wanted. And I bet the place that we left, he got the number he wanted.
Yeah.
And everybody won. And I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, we bought some household stuff, some high-dollar household furniture slash whatever. And it was, first of all, it was one-third off of the list price. So that's why we were there in the first place.
Right.
And then, I don't feel any need to negotiate anything down.
Exactly.
And we ended up buying some other stuff from the guy because he was a good guy.
Yeah, I'm really happy.
And also, yeah, me too. I was real happy when we walked out and we didn't negotiate
anything. He was happy.
It was already marked down.
You're right.
Here's where it's appropriate to negotiate. You know, I don't mean this to be the whole meat of the show, but it actually is. Thank you, Trevor, for bringing it up. So if you're like a developer and Sam Walton was famous for this. He bought an airplane and got his pilot's license and would fly around and try to see in a rural location the best piece of dirt that he could put a Walmart on where he would really just innately grab a lot of traffic, a lot of drive-by traffic, daily drive-by traffic. And so he would go in then. He needs that specific piece of property, right? Maybe he's got a handful. Maybe he comes back down, lands a plan, and says, these five properties will work. So, and then I understand the negotiation piece. You go in and you really say, hey, Farmer Bob, I love this piece of dirt. I love it at X. Can you see your way to pay Y, which I think is a fair price, mm-hmm. all right? And so sometimes you have to negotiate if you want that specific asset. In fact, in the eyes of the law, every single piece of property is unique. But for us, you know, we're buying houses that sort of fit that is we're filling an order, and it's a lot of houses that fill that order, and land even more.
Right.
So my gut is to just move on. Yeah. So Trevor, I think you're wasting your time, but you know, you're going to learn a lot. Talk to the county a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The more you talk to learn, or the more you listen and talk with the counties and stuff, the more you're going to learn. If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landacademy.com. Today's topic. And you may know this from last Thursday, real estate agent side business. So why the heck are we talking about this again, Jill? I got it overwhelming. By leaps and bounds, this is our most popular show topic. And so we got a lot of questions between then and now, and I want to cover them. So why is this, and let's forget about the real estate agent piece of this, why is this just such a great side business, Jill?
I think
have a whole list of things.
Oh, I do. I have a couple things. Number one is this for me, I think, is the biggest thing. They love it. It takes so much work out of this. This is the kind of transaction that they're used to dealing with buyers and sellers and title agents and inspectors and lenders. And I mean, there's just who knows and who else is. I mean, there's just a long laundry list of people involved. And it's such a great thing for them because it removes all of that. There's a buyer, there's a seller. That's it. They understand the business. They get it. And I love it. And they also, because I know this from our real estate agents that are in our group, they can travel. They can do this from anywhere. They can scale it up. They can scale it down depending on what it is. So I know some of our agents that are doing this on the side. They are gearing up for retirement, you know, whenever that is for them. And they're building up their portfolio of their own properties. And, you know, some months they're really, really busy. All right, we're not going to devote a lot of time to this. Other months it might be dry in their world. Hey, I've got a backup plan. I have a side business. I have some other income coming in. I don't have to worry about it. So those are my main things. And I think that's why the people I talk to love it.
The questions that I got were, they were related to this. Line this type of business that we're in. Line it up against other businesses that you could start. All right. Let's say you want to start a t-shirt shop. Well, you got to get a supplier. You have to buy some machines. You have to go negotiate a lease. There's a lot of stuff you have to do to start a business. All of it, almost all of it, you don't have to do with this. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is send a bunch of mail out properly, right? Get educated first. Send a bunch of mail out and watch the offers come in, and then build your business around, you know, the offers coming in and the resale that you're doing. You don't have to go get a physical location. You don't have to hire anybody. You don't have to borrow any money, all right? It doesn't cost too much money to start this at all. So all the basic stuff that stops people from going off on their own and being their own boss is not, in general, not involved here. I mean, especially the way that we just serve it up on a silver platter, you know, with the education piece of this show and the whole thing.
It's true.
And these daily shows. I mean, it really, that's why this show, I'm sure, that's why this topic, this is probably the fourth time since we started doing this podcast that we brought up this side business where it's right in the title.
Right.
And that's why I think it's so, you know, it really does make a lot of sense. It made sense to me. You don't have to quit your job. In fact, don't, you know, do it on the weekend. Yesterday's show was one deal a month using the offers to owners piece. So it really does make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And here's a good thing. If it's not for you, you know, over the years, we've had a couple people just say, you know what, this is not for us.
Right.
And so then, great, you found out. It didn't cost you a ton of money. You're not sitting there staring at a 12-month lease in a retail location. Or, you know, you don't have a bunch of money invested in software and all that stuff.
Yep.
So it's a great side business.
Remember that guy we met? There was a guy a long time ago. I think we were buying some property from him. And this was years ago because you were helping with doing some things. And it was funny because it came out that this was his business years ago, and he retired, but he never could quite get out of it because it was just fun and profitable.
I do remember that.
It was really funny. He's like, yeah, you know, I kind of did what you guys did years ago and on a big level, but I don't do that now. But I still have deals coming in, and it's never left.
Yeah, you know, after you do that first one or two or three deals, I've noticed that people have like a couple of things. One of two things happens. Oh, this is great. I'm going to do one or two or three deals a month, and I'm going to make several thousand dollars extra a month, or whatever it ends up being. Or if you're insane like me, you have to stop your whole life.
Yeah.
You sell everything and then, you know, you pour it all into this. Like Luke Smith, we're going to have him on the show later this week. He's one of our original members, and he just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
And so he stopped everything. He pulled all of his money out of his IRAs and
got his family involved.
Yeah, got his like extended family involved. Exactly. They're answering the phones and stuff, and he's just making a mint. So
that's right. Family meeting is what we're doing now. Yeah.
And he's loving it. You know, he actually he's famous for coming on our weekly calls and saying, you know, I play with my kids during the day and then I work all night. So I don't know when he sleeps, but
it's true.
How old is he, do you know?
I don't know.
We'll ask him on the show.
We should ask him. His kids are young.
I bet he's in his 30s, though.
That's what I think.
He's got some energy still.
Yeah, he does.
I'm proud of him. He's always got a different weird take on stuff. Mm-hmm. He's a total, like, he's got an ownership mentality. He just takes responsibility for everything.
You know what's funny about this? You touched on something here. It's interesting to me, the high percentage of our members who maybe they, and I appreciate this, I think that they did a lot of upfront homework before joining us, and that's my first choice. Don't rush into anything. Do all your homework, because once they're in, they're in.
They made a commitment.
They did. They're not leaving.
I'm noticing that. And the last several members, I don't know, the most recent members that we have, 10 or 20-ish, I've noticed that exact thing, Jill.
Yeah.
They all come to, they've like, yeah, I've been listening to the show for 6 months. I've done all, I've spent hours and hours looking at which direction to go.
I've tested this, like you guys suggested.
Then I know it's going to work.
Exactly.
They've thought it all the way through.
I agree. Well, and we're coming up on a year now since we started the whole data, and I'm watching our people, And they're like, great, we're ready to renew. I'm like, that's it. They're in. They get it. They're doing it. They're using the data. We can see them download. We can, you know, the numbers, you know, and that's how we can kind of help engage what they might need coming up, depending on how many mailers are doing. And that, you know, offers to owners coming up, you know, making it even easier. That's the thing, too, is as time goes on, Jack and I are here trying to come up with new products. And that's really a lot of you. That's you, Jack.
Yeah.
And making it even easier for our members to, you know, be the deal makers. That's what you should be doing. I tell people all the time, you should not be licking stamps, you know, because I got this from you. You should be making the deals. That's it.
Yeah, you want to be a deal maker. You don't want to be working a back office somewhere.
You know, doing pushing paper around and making sure the deed gets to the notary and that kind of stuff. And we're working on taking even more of that off your plate.
Exactly.
So,
hey, join us on another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me.
And inspiration, that's me.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. A lot of years ago, I was talking to my former partner, who's now back with us, involved in a certain IT capacity. Mm-hmm. And we were having a bad day. And I said, man, I'll tell you, the next company I start is going to have no customers and no employees.
How's that working?
It is working great. I mean, we have really happy customers.
Yeah.
You know, in Land Academy and Landstay.
That's true.
You know, and Landpin now.
Uh-huh.
Jeez, I keep forgetting about Landpin.
I know, Landstay is so Landpin.
Landstay is our little website. But anyway, you know, it's just, we have happy customers and we have, you know, very, very few employees
mm-hmm.
in both companies now because mm-hmm. we're properly outsourcing stuff. And it's just, you know, we're all able to do that because of software and because we're organized.
Exactly.
Because it's a great side business. Just anybody can do it. You trip once in a while, but you get back up and it works.
Exactly.
I'm having a blast, are you?
Yeah, totally.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.